You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Rays reporter, Bill Chastain. On the podcast this week, we're going to look ahead to the 2017 winter meetings. We're also going to look back on the 2012 winter meetings, which were an interesting meetings for the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll touch on some other things as well. I wanted to start on the hot stove, which is warming up a little bit, Bill, not necessarily for the Rays, but all around. Shohei Ohtani has limited his list to 7 finalists. Unfortunately, the Rays not among those 7 teams, as we kind of anticipated and spoke a little bit about last week on the podcast. So he will be meeting with 7 teams and trying to figure out where he will end up for next season. As far as trade rumors with the Rays, seems like there's still a lot of smoke about Colome and whether or not he'll get dealt. And he's a guy on that roster, right, that makes a lot of sense if the Rays are going to deal somebody. When you look at his contract, what he might be able to bring back, he seems to be a logical guy that they could move.
Yeah, and when you factor in that the team's owner, Stu Sternberg, has, you know, kind of said they're going to lower the payroll this year, you got to look for ways to do that. And Colome is projected by a lot of people to make probably $5 million plus through arbitration. So, you know, if you do the math, he might be one of the guys that would be likely candidate to go.
Early in the offseason, we heard the Twins and Colome. More recently, there's been some reports about maybe the Cardinals. And then I saw one report by Jean-Paul Morosi of MLB Network and MLB.com. He mentioned that if Stanton falls through for the Cardinals, maybe the Cardinals would kind of broaden that trade and try to pull in Colome and maybe go after a guy like Evan Longoria. Now, obviously, that's a big name that draws some headlines. What would it take for the Rays to consider parting ways with really the guy who's been the face of the franchise for so long?
Well, I mean, first, I think it's going to be interesting to see which way they go. I mean, right now it's kind of looking like they are going to go, you know, I hate to use the word gut, but I would say reduce themselves significantly. I know they didn't, you know, they traded Brad Boxberger and, you know, that was that the first, you know, the precursor to other moves like that. Now, I do think Longoria is in another, you know, a whole nother realm as far as what the Rays think of him and how they value him. So I think it would take a pretty, you know, good chunk to get him. But by the same token, you know, he's coming up on his 5 and 10, you know, so, you know, if they were going to move him, it would look like they would want to move him before that came into being. But I do think it would take a lot because I think he's kind of viewed as the leader and kind of the heart of the team.
Yeah, and you mentioned 5 and 10. Of course, players who are 10 years in the big leagues, 5 with one team, have those full no-trade, they get the ability to have that no-trade clause in the contract. So, yeah, if you're going to trade him, it would probably have to be for that because he just feels like a guy that's comfortable with that organization, is happy to be with that organization. So with the possibility of scaling down payroll and rumors like this, when you look ahead to the winter meetings, which start on Sunday into Monday down in Orlando, Florida, Bill, usually the Rays are a fairly quiet organization at the winter meetings, doing a lot of talking, but not necessarily pulling the trigger on any big moves. Does this make it more likely that maybe they'll be more active because of the chance to deal away some contracts and scale down, as you put it?
And that probably depends on how far they got at the GM meetings. Historically, like you said, they have always just kind of put parameters for deals together and talked with other clubs about, you know, finding interest and, you know, see if they had a match. And it always seems like, you know, it's shortly after the winter meetings when these deals come to fruition. So, you know, I imagine they'll be talking with everybody, particularly if, you know, I'm still waiting to see, like I said, you know, what their plan is for the offseason. Are they going to try and build around some of their veterans, or are they going to trade those guys and go to a totally, you know, youth movement? I don't expect them to go to the total youth movement. They've never done that. But, you know, when you try and guess what these guys do, you know, you can get brain freeze. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go.
It is interesting, too, because they do have team-friendly contracts on a lot of their big-name players. Longoria, you'd save money by trading him, but he actually has a team-friendly deal. Chris Archer has a team-friendly deal. So I think you're right. It makes a lot more sense to maybe make some tweaks and try to catch some breaks and make a run with who you have if you can add the right pieces. You mentioned oftentimes they set up deals at the winter meetings as opposed to getting them done at the winter meetings. And that brings us to 2012, which was, an important winter meetings for this Tampa Bay Rays team. And one of the reasons is what you just said. They put together the groundwork for a big trade at the winter meetings that turned out to happen later. James Shields, Wade Davis, Will Myers, Jake Odorizzi. That big deal started coming together at the 2012 winter meetings.
And if you look at that deal, both teams won. You know, the Rays got the Rookie of the Year. They got Odorizzi for a longer time than what James Shields was. The Royals got James Shields, who really kind of, has been credited for kind of getting them, kind of helping a young team shape their mentality for a team that eventually won the World Series. So I think it was a win-win for both teams. But, according to, what we heard, the parameters for that deal were put together at those winter meetings. So, they're not usually the team that makes the big splash at the winter meetings, but they are usually behind the scenes, setting the table for what they might do.
In that same winter meetings, they also did get a deal done. They brought in Yunel Escobar. He acquired him for Derek Dietrich. Talk about that deal, because it feels like that was one where the Rays, when you look back on it, won that trade.
Well, I mean, Dietrich's done, had a decent career for the Marlins, but, the Rays got the good Escobar for at least a year and a half. And I say that because sometimes he could be a little bit flighty. But when you see him and he's playing well, he's really a talented player, and he really helped the Rays when he was, particularly that first year at shortstop.
So that's a look back at 2012, a memorable year as far as winter meetings go with this Tampa Bay Rays team. Last week on the podcast, Bill, we talked about non-tender decisions and the possibilities for the Rays, Adani Echevarria and Brad Miller, Jesus Sucre. All those guys ended up getting tender deals. The one guy that the team non-tendered was Xavier Cedeño, but it sounds like they may be able to bring him back as well.
Well, they certainly haven't burned any bridges on that, and it probably wouldn't be a bad move for Cedeño to sign back with them. They're familiar with his, maladies. He's had some health problems the past two seasons. Who knows what kind of demand is going to be for him. But he is left-handed. And like the great Skip Carey once said, if Frank Tanana, when he was out there pitching in the mid-40s, if he was right-handed, they'd be calling him coach. So, this guy, he's left-handed, and when he's healthy, he gets guys out. He's a great guy to bring in and get that left-handed out.
Is the fact that they did tender contracts to Miller and Echevarria and Sucre, does that kind of support your thought that this is a team that does not want to necessarily tear things down? Because you could have gotten rid of those contracts by non-tendering those guys, but they bring them back and they can be valuable pieces. Or is it more a situation where they think maybe those guys have enough value that they could be trade pieces?
I think all of them have trade value if they do decide to go that way. I mean, Echevarria, we saw what he could do at shortstop. Miller's 1 year removed from a 30 home run season. And Sucre, he really came a long way last year offensively, and his value as a defensive catcher is pretty well known. So all three of those are valuable pieces. But, they actually, just like we were talking about Echevarria last week, if they, decide to trade him, you've got Matt Duffy, maybe Willy Adames comes in there. Same thing with Brad Miller. We're not, even talking to Chaim Bloom the other day, he wasn't even sure quite where they were going to put Miller next year. He brings him a lot of flexibility and plays shortstop, second base, first base, and the outfield. And even if he has struggled some with the glove, being able to play all those positions is, there's certainly a value to that.
And I guess that also opens things up as to it. It kind of broadens the number of players that you can go after to fill holes, because you don't necessarily have to go out now and find a first baseman to fill the hole until Jake Bowers is definitely ready, because you could move Miller there and fill a different hole, right? It gives them more options for the rest of the offseason.
Totally.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. We'll see if maybe in Orlando at the winter meetings next week, if this Rays team can have some fire to go with the smoke and maybe pull off some deals. We'll certainly see. That'll be the next time that we get together to record this podcast. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Rays edition. For Bill Chastain, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.